Okay.
Janet Kay,
thank
point
you.
Of information?
Yes, Janet Kay.
So did you mean posting on kpfkx.org?
No, I'm sorry. I'm in at the KPFK site as well. It can be on KPFK. It should be on all of our websites is what the bylaws say.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item we have on the agenda, I think that's special order of business. We go into the amendments. We have 30 minutes on this item, 15 minutes each. First Amendment A, who's going to present that? Lydia? Hello?
I thought Margie's hire freeze motion was first.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
it's at the end of this section.
I thought it was the end, yeah. We're on the bylaws amendment.
Right. Oh, we're doing the bylaws amendment? Okay, thank you. I wasn't able to make my appropriate notes. Okay, so the first bylaws amendment, which is the one on, about the reduced, to give us flexibility on the in-person meetings. And that is, so the bottom line is to have between 1 and 4 in-person meetings in a year. So we can have as few as 1, depending on our finances and the business at hand, and then we can have as many as 4. So it isn't reducing it, as many have characterized it, but it's giving us the flexibility. So if conditions do not permit us financially or for other reasons not to have it, we can have as few as 1, hopefully not. I think 2 is a nice balance personally, but and then if we have a year where we really need 4 and we can afford it, then we can do that as well.
Okay, is there a stack on this amendment?
Janet K.
Brian.
We got Janet K. and then Brian. Janet K.
Yeah, I think I'm going to vote against this. Although I agree with the spirit of the amendment, I think it'll introduce from the beginning the probability that the bylaws are going to be violated, because it is unrealistic to schedule an annual meeting in January, late in the month or not, as long as the LSB elections of PMB directors remain in place in December. In January. So the directors will be elected in January, and an annual meeting would need to be scheduled with 30 days notice. That's Article 6, Section 4. And that is still in place for noticing in-person meetings. So it would involve the outgoing PNB to organize this annual meeting, and we wouldn't even know who would be available, you know, who the directors will be and whether they'll be available. So I have problems with this.
Okay, Brian, we have 15 minutes on this item. Brian?
Well, I want to start off by addressing Janet's concern. The specific language says the annual meeting shall take place in late January each year, or at such other times and places as agreed by a majority vote of the board. So it certainly gives the board the flexibility to hold a meeting later than January without creating any breach of the bylaws. As things stand, and I think this is a problem, the bylaws compel us to have 4 meetings a year, which is something we've had neither the money nor the staff time to comply with for several years in a row. So the bylaws put us in a position where we are forced to violate them. And I think we have to recognize that we're a different organization, you know, in terms of our size financially than we were at the time that these bylaws were approved. And on the list of priorities that I think most of our listeners have for how we should be spending our money when we're in a financial crisis, I'm going to hazard a guess that airfare, catering costs, and hotel bills for frequent in-person meetings is a low one. Now, the language of Lydia's amendment certainly preserves the ability of the board to meet more frequently as needed, and We can certainly get a lot more done in in-person meetings, but I don't think we should leave ourselves in a situation where we are compelled to do something that we already know we are unable to do. So I ask you to please vote for the amendment.
Any further discussion on this amendment?
Alan would like to say something.
Yes, Alan.
In years past, at KPFT, we've always had an understanding that we needed to have a meeting the first thing after the local station, after the first of the year. And if we had a special delegates meeting then and picked our delegates immediately, then we didn't have any problem with those people getting the tickets to go to the national board meeting. I think, though, that, you know, it's not written in the bylaws that this is the thing to do, but it's obvious that if you want to have 3 weeks prior to get your tickets, that is the thing to do. It's another thing where you also should immediately in January, pick your people for what committees they want to be on. So I think that Janet Kay's concern can be addressed. Not only do we not have to have the PNB meeting in January, it could be in February, but if we get into a habit and tell the LSB chairs and secretaries that they need to schedule a meeting as soon as possible after January 1st to select their PNB delegates, that problem can be resolved. Thank you.
Okay, I heard someone wanted to be on the stack.
George.
Okay, yeah. We have individual timing person. I guess Adrian is timing individual. Yes, I'm sorry, George. Could you go?
Yeah, I think the in-person meeting is a very good idea. We get much more done, and we have a chance for resolving differences between us face to face in ways that you can't do on these phone calls. The cost has always been raised as an issue, but it's down to about $25,000 a piece. Even if we had four, it'd be $100,000. Which is less than 1% of our budget. In order to improve the effectiveness of this board, it seems to me that's a really sensible expenditure of money. So I'm going to be voting against this.
Okay, anyone else want to speak for this amendment? Adriana?
Yeah. Well, I agree with George, and I think that all of us feel the same way, that we accomplish in an in-person meeting what we can accomplish sometimes in an year of teleconferences. And it makes the board act better and more polite. But I think that we are not saying that we will not have four. I feel that it's really a bad precedent that we make ourselves not adhere to the bylaws, and I'm thinking we are not having elections. It's almost 3 years that we don't have an election. The listeners, we don't have money for elections, but we will put money even if it's not that much for an in-person meeting. I think that with this amendment, I will vote for, because this amendment will solve, will let us decide if we have the money or not, and obviously vote with what we can do. That's it.
Okay, Brian, where are we on time? We'll take the word.
We have 7 minutes remaining on this bylaw amendment.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak for or against this bylaw amendment?
Again?
Going a second time? Anyone else? Going a third. Okay.
This is Rodrigo. Can I speak a little bit about it?
Oh, yes. Rodrigo.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say a little bit because I'm kind of sick, though, so I cannot stay, you know, really. So, but what I want to say is that I really don't like it, you know. I feel it's not the most convenient thing to do. For me, a lot of the meetings over the phone are like, you know, so much time we spend. You know, and personally, like belonging to a group, or community organizers. All the time that we need them, you know, I feel like we accomplished just a little bit for, you know, the groups that, you know, we represent. I like the in-person meetings because you have to talk, you know, and to kind of deal with during the full day, 3 days, you know, of work, you know, and full work. I mean, it's a huge difference, very big difference when you meet. So I don't know if I'm going to vote against or for. I mean, it's good in terms of any way we are doing it because we don't have no money. But frankly, not a really good idea. You know, sorry for my friends this time, but I really feel like this thing is nothing that is going to solve anything. Just the economic part, yes. Well, the economic part, because we're not going to have to spend that much money. But, you know, really, I mean, to deal with, I enter to the course every time, right? What do I get accomplished? Nothing. You know, it's too difficult to follow up. You know, like, oh, man, you know, like now we got this and that. And then, you know, just two, three people speaking all the time, you know. And so it's very difficult for me, like, really to do these things over the phone, you know. It's way better when we meet in person. Now, I would say if it is possible, I mean, to make it like two times, you know, something at least, you know, or something like that. You know, but, you know, one, that's not good. Not good at all, you know. I don't feel it like that, you know, sorry. Okay, so that's my 5 cents. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else want to speak to this amendment or against it? Lydia, did you want to provide some clarification or concluding statements?
I did. One of the things I didn't point out, the last time that we had all four in-person meetings in, I believe it was in 2010, it cost us $110,000. And, of course, now everything has gone up, as I discovered when I was looking for hotels here in L.A. So, you know, that's a factor that I don't think that we can dismiss. If the board was raising $110,000 for the foundation, I would think that we can always have the four meetings. I would have no problems there. The extra work is worth it, I believe. But the board is not raising $110,000 during the year, for one thing. But regardless, it's not that I'm saying that there aren't going to be times. If we were to decide to revise the whole bylaws at a bylaws convention, we might need four meetings or something like that. But anyway, we have the option. It leaves the option with the board. So I strongly urge that we pass this. I don't think that the continuing breach of the bylaws, which we have done since 2011, is a responsible thing to do. And I think that is the problem right now with the bylaws, is that when they were written, there was a lot of euphoria, and everybody thought we could do it all. And unfortunately, several portions of the bylaws are extremely rigid and restrictive and definite. And this one, all it does is provide a range. It does not limit us to one, and it does not mandate four. So I urge us to pass it. Thank you.
Okay.
This meeting time, the meeting time for adjournment of this meeting is 10 o'clock, and we're like 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes away. So I move to extend 15 minutes into, you know, until 10:15.
Okay, is there a second to extending to 10:15? Okay, is there any objection to extending the time of the meeting past 10 o'clock, 15 minutes? I'm sorry?
Point of information?
Yes, Serene.
Is there a pressing business for, I'm wondering if we can simply now extend for the special order things as well? You know,
I would second that.
To extend.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what your question was, Serene. Could you repeat that? I didn't.
I'm wondering whether we can make a larger extension, larger than 15 minutes at a time, to deal with individual issues.
A motion to extend is not debatable.
No, but it's medical.
Okay, we have a request to extend for 15 minutes. Madam Secretary, is there any objection to extend?
Wait,
yes,
there's an amendment on the floor.
A motion to extend may not be debatable, but it is amendable, and I wish to amend it.
Okay, what's your amendment?
that we extend to 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
Yes.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Okay, is there any objection to extending 45 minutes to the open session? No objection? So we extended for 45 minutes in open session. Okay, we'll go back to the back on the amendment. Is there anyone else want to speak to the amendment of the First Amendment to the bylaw? Proposed amendment.
Yes, Benito.
Yes, Benito. I'm sorry. I didn't understand.
No, it's fine. No, you know, I'm probably repeating what people have already said, but to me, it's real simple. If you got the money, you can have 100 meetings a year. Everyone agrees that it's always preferable to have meetings in person. You know, so that shouldn't even be the issue. The issue, it seems, is do we have the money to have 4 meetings a year? Number one. Number two, what are we going to do if we don't pass this amendment? What are we going to do in terms of continuing, knowingly continuing to violate the bylaws time and time again? And the third point, to me, is even more important. It's the appearance, the perception of things. So I think it was Ariana or somebody that said, what do we look like? And maybe I'm rewording what she said, but what do we look like in front of our folks when we continue to delay, and we have delayed elections for 3 years? Oh, but these folks can go around, get on a plane, and go into hotel rooms just like the Congress 4 times a year. Ain't that cool? What do we look like in front of our folks? That's it.
Okay. How are we on time for this item again, Brian, and then we'll take someone else?
We are at time, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We've heard the debate on this particular amendment. What is the vote on this? I'm not sure what the ratification vote is for this amendment. I mean,
it requires a majority of all
board members. So at this point, there are 21, and so a majority would be 11 needed, not a majority of those present.
So we would need at least 11 affirmative votes. Okay, Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Tony, can you clarify? I couldn't hardly hear what Janet said. What do we need?
Janet,
from this?
11.
Janet, you want
we
to repeat
need
that?
11 to approve this.
Yeah, but how do you come up with 11?
It's the majority of the board members, current board members. There are 21.
Okay, the majority of the universe.
Yep. Okay, Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Yes, Alan. Agueta.
Alan says yes.
Alan votes yes. Agueta?
Yes.
Agueta votes yes. Burden. Rezan. Yes. Rezan votes yes. Brown.
Yes.
Brown votes yes. Jim Brown, sorry. Steve Brown.
No.
Steve Brown votes no. Tess Nave.
Votes yes.
Tess Nave votes yes. Coleman. Diaz.
Oops, sorry.
Nine.
Pass.
Coleman passes. Diaz?
Aye and aye.
Diaz votes yes. Edwards Tickert?
Yes.
Edwards Tickert votes yes. Quintus? Codron passes. Mark?
Mark passes.
Mark passes. Medina?
Yes.
Medina votes yes. Ryder?
I vote no.
Ryder votes no. Roberts. Tucker.
Abstain.
Tucker abstains. Wilkinson.
Yes.
Wilkinson votes yes. Coleman, you pass.
Kumi, I'm going to vote no because I don't know whether we're allowed to make such a revision of the bylaws.
Coleman votes no. Coburn abstained. Mark.
Mark votes yes.
Mark votes yes. Roberts.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Roberts votes yes. Okay.
Can I change my vote to yes?
Coleman votes yes.
Yes, thanks.
All right, I'm going to count.
Madam Secretary, I didn't hear a vote from Alan when you called her name the first time.
Alan voted yes.
Thank you.
I have 12 yes, 2 no, 2 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Chair votes yes.
Norman votes yes. That's 13 yes, 2 no, 2 abstentions. This motion passes, the bylaws amendment passes the board.
Okay, the next bylaw amendment we have is B. Brian, I think you want to motivate to present this item. You have 15 minutes on this item.
Sure. This is a proposal to amend the bylaws to make the board slightly smaller. And it has three components. First of all, it gets rid of the at-large position, which is a position the board has never filled. Second of all, it reduces the number of affiliate positions from 2 to 1. And third of all, it reduces the number of people who come from each station from 4 to 3. And it eliminates the distinction between staff and listener representatives on the national board. So instead of having to have one staff person from each station, you could have as many or as few as a local board wanted to send in its three-person delegation. The principal reason that I'm proposing this is because I think a smaller board will be able to get along better. Larger groups are more likely to factionalize. It's harder for people to speak for any length of time in a larger group where everyone's competing for the microphone. And also because of simple logistics. On these conference calls, the more people we have on the line, the more noise we introduce into the call, and the more difficult it is to hear each other. And in our in-person meetings, the more people we have to fly in, the more money we spend on hotels, catering, and plane tickets. So this is towards a smaller board. It also gives the local boards more flexibility so that if they can't find a staff member among their ranks who wants to spend their time on the national board, which I know has been an issue for some stations, they don't have to force someone who's not very enthusiastic about it to do it. Or if they have 2 board members who are staff or 3 board members who are staff who are really gung-ho and the local board thinks they're the best to represent them, they can do that as well.
Okay. Anyone else? What are we taking a stack?
Janet Kay.
Robert Kay. Robert Mark. Okay, Janet Kay.
Do you have me? Adriana?
Okay, Adriana? Okay, yes.
And Jim Brown?
Jim Brown, okay. Janet Kay.
Thank you. Although I do believe we need to reduce the size of the PND and the LSB for that matter, there is a detail in the language of this amendment that could result in a totally staff-populated PND where all 3 directors from all 5 stations could be staff members. But Pacifica is listener-sponsored radio. The bylaws were designed so that listeners would comprise 3/4 of governance.
With all due respect and admiration for all staff at all stations and for all the work you all do, you do have different interests than the listeners. The staff is a very small percent of the listenership. I cannot support a radio network that could possibly end up being governed by and for the staff. I will vote no on this amendment.
This is Lydia to the SEC.
Okay, we got Lydia Rotley. Mark was next.
Rodrigo.
I'm sorry?
Rodrigo.
I would just ask someone to speak in favor because I think what I'm going to say would be construed as being against.
Well, we got Rodrigo, but you have the floor, Mr. Mark. You can speak.
Okay, well, I'll just say what I was going to say. I polled the members of our LSB, and I think I only got one response in favor of doing this. And so I guess what I want to say, and it will come off as being against it, is it's not going to pass our LSB, and I'm really ambivalent, and therefore I'm going to go with the members of my LSB and probably vote no.
Okay. Adriana?
And don't forget Lydia.
Yeah, I got Jim, then Lydia, then Rodrigo.
Okay, thanks.
Adriana? Calling again. Adriana, are you there? Okay.
Can you hear me? Hear me?
I can hear you now.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I was mute. What I want to say is I sent my rationale to the board before, and I think that we have, under the California law, said that no more than 49% of the board of directors might be interest persons. Obviously, the way that this is by law amendment written shows that we can wind up with a board that could have more than 49% of the staff members, for example, interested persons. The person that are being paid, right? That is what the code is. And basically, we are changing the idea of the bylaws was giving staff a 25% in the board. With this amendment, it's not a way that we can keep this balance. And obviously, every time that you reduce a board, what you reduce is diversity. Thank you. I will not, obviously.
And
Jim Brown.
And Serene would like to join the staff, please.
Okay. Jim.
Benito.
Not Serene, Benito, but Jim.
Okay, I'm on? Jim.
Yes.
The basic idea of reducing the size of the board is very good. However, we cannot forget that the composition of our listeners and our staff is very important. The original intent, I believe, was to have those two entities come together to help make decisions for the stations. Now, to have it so that the listeners outnumber the staff or the staff outnumbers the listeners is very, very dangerous. Because at any given time, that could cause a very serious conflict between us all. So specifying for me the number of listeners versus staff on the board is extremely important. So without that specificity in there, we're causing undue conflict down the road.
Okay, we got Lydia, Rodrigo, Serene, and Benito. Lydia.
Okay, so this, I'm surprised to hear from Bob Mark, because it was this original concept for reducing the size of the board came from Houston, came from Bill Crozier. But nevertheless, first of all, I think that our goal should be to get
the best qualified and the most available directors that we can get, whether they are staff or whether they are listeners. I do not believe that we're going to be overrun by one or the other. Also, STV voting was introduced as a means of creating a diverse pool of people. The way that the bylaws are set up right now, we have STV for the listener directors when we vote, but we have a majority minority when we are voting for staff because it is only for one seat. So the majority on the LSB will always get that additional seat. But the primary thought for me is to, again, all of the benefits of having a smaller board, and also the fact that we would hopefully pick the ones who really want to serve on the board. I have been constantly in a position when the whole time I've been on the PMB, we always have to try to get a staff person and talk them into doing it because they're already overwhelmed with their programming responsibilities. So it's not like they're going to be rushing to do it. Oh, is my time up? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Rodrigo.
Yeah. Okay. It's very crucial both, you know, for the situation of the network. I also share, you know, the idea that reducing it is not going to solve anything. You know, I mean, the issue here is, yes, I agree with some of the members, you know, that we have to get the most capable people at the board. But that's not a guarantee, you know. And not making a distinction between, you know, listeners and staff, it's going to create another problem because staff, you know, are really small in ways, but also are listeners, you know, at the same time. So they support in both ways. And they bring a lot of people to produce. So they got to get some kind of, they got to be identified with the mission. They got to understand the mission. And it has to be represented. Like, what is happening right now at KPFK? I mean, we have a big tomorrow, and I hope, you know, the executive director is going to do something soon, because these people are, like, just going crazy. So, but what is happening at the local station board and KPFK? We haven't been able to do any meetings, because we don't have calls, because people don't show up. So there are issues that I think is out of our hands. But frankly, we need to have more diversity. It's not that larger board does not work. It's that we haven't been capable, we haven't been able to implement, you know, and to make work, you know, to implement the bylaws the way it is, and to make work, you know, all the committees that we have. We have, yes, sorry, you know, about that. So I really don't think, you know, this is going to solve anything. I'm referring to you.
Okay. Serene, then Benito. Serene.
Okay, thanks very much. I think it's crucial that staff continue to have a guaranteed seat on the national board, and this would eliminate that, so I strongly object to that. I actually think we should be moving in a direction of two listeners and two staff, more towards equalizing the numbers on both the local and national boards, but I know that's not what's up for discussion now. I will say that I think that the bylaws say that if a member's rights are going to be affected, they get to vote on it. So without having having put this issue before station staff about whether or not their guaranteed seat on the national board, one from each station, should be removed, I don't think it's even proper for us to be voting on this, but I certainly will be voting against it because I think the staff, not all of whom I think are necessarily progressive, but they do bring some information to a board that would not otherwise be present among, it is not present among our listenership. It does make a difference when you actually work in the place. So that said, I will be voting against it for the specific reason that I think it deprives staff of a guaranteed bylaw right without having had them been given an opportunity to vote on it. Thanks.
Okay, Benito.
Hi. So, you know, generally I'm against any idea? Well, let me say this. The struggle for democracy is to advance and increase participation. And so, in that, with that in mind, I would tend to vote against anything that reduces the size of the PMB or any other body. However, despite that, because of the financial situation, I was ready to vote last year to reduce the size. And I might still do that if this amendment were worded differently. The killer for me is, as several people have stated, with regard to eliminating any kind of guarantee that both constituencies will be represented. And again, the struggle for democracy in society in general, I don't care what group of society you're talking about, has included a struggle to ensure that every group gets represented. So you have set aside so that women and different groups of minorities are represented. And so for all of those reasons, I'll vote against this. You know, we have to guarantee at least one seat for each of the two groups.
Okay. Brian here?
Brian? Yes, Brian. What do you want to respond? Let's
sit back for debate. We have 2 minutes remaining.
Okay, Brian, yes.
Yeah, well, it sounds like half our board's going to vote against this because it opens the door to too much staff representation, and half our board's going to vote against it because it doesn't guarantee enough. I would just put it out to everyone who says they agree with reducing the board in principle. It's not possible to do that and maintain the same ratio of listeners to staff that we have, right? It's 3-1. So a smaller board is going to mean moving that in one direction or the other. So if you think that that's a worthy thing to pursue, I would encourage you to think of what the best way to do that would look like. You know, from my point of view, and I'm a staff member, and I think I'm the only employee who is on this board, I'm proposing it. It doesn't feel like a disenfranchisement. Our bylaws still guarantee that a quarter of the local boards are staff. And under our STV voting method, a quarter would be enough to guarantee a seat anywhere that the staff wanted to make sure they sent one of their own to the national board. But it leaves the choice up to them, not in the section of the bylaws. And ultimately, I think that is more democratic. That is more representative because it puts more control in the hands of the people through the voting. And, you know, towards Adriana's concerns, she's absolutely right about the interested director's restriction. Right now we have one interested director on this board. That's me. It is theoretically possible that we could get over that 50% threshold, but we could do that with the bylaws we have now. State law always trumps the bylaws, and you have to deal with that when you get to it. So, you know, think about other solutions if you don't like this one. I was just trying to be helpful.
Jim to the stack.
Adriana.
Yes, Jim. And who is that, Adriana?
Yes,
Jim, then Adriana.
One thing that that we have to keep in mind is that when we say staff, we're not just talking about folks who actually work in the administrative offices and so forth. We're also talking about programmers. And at WPFW, we have probably more volunteer staff people than any other station in the whole network, and they want a board. They want a seat. They want someone to represent them on the board, and this may eliminate that. And I say that we have to specify that we have whatever the ratio is, the number of staff people on the board, along with listeners. The listeners are very concerned that they may not get represented on the board. And for years, we fought to make sure that they have a seat on the board. So that's what we need to consider.
We are at time on this item, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. We have to move to a vote. I think we need 11 affirmative votes on this amendment also. Madam Secretary, can you call the roll?
Yes. Alan?
Alan says yes.
Alan votes yes. Agueta?
Yes.
Agueta votes no. Burden?
Well, again, could you repeat what we're voting on before we begin the tally? Thank you.
It's the bylaws, proposed bylaws amendment to reduce the size of the PND.
Thank you. Burden votes no.
Burden votes no. Gazan? Yes. I'm sorry? Yes. Gazan votes yes. Jim Brown.
Jim Brown votes no.
Jim Brown votes no. Steve Brown.
No.
Steve Brown votes no. Kesnave.
No.
Kesnave votes no. Coleman.
No.
Coleman votes no. Diaz.
No.
Diaz votes no. Edwards Tuchert.
Yes.
Edwards Tuchert votes yes. Fuentes. Coburn votes no. Mark.
Mark abstains.
Mark abstains. Medina. Writer.
I vote no.
Writer votes no. Robert.
No.
Robert votes no. Tucker.
Abstains.
Tucker abstains. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson votes yes. Fuentes, Medina, made it count. I have 4 yes, 10 no, 2 abstain. Chair, do you wish to vote?
Chair is not voting.
So this fails.
Okay, the amendment fails. I think the next item we have on the agenda was moved up with Margie's hiring freeze, is it?
Right.
We have 10 minutes on this item for the timekeeper. Margie, you want to motivate
sure.
this one?
Nah, well, I can't find my papers. Okay, you have the amendment. You have the motion before you. Basically, it's to... simply amend the motion that we passed previously, which I think was in October, on the hiring freeze, on the Pacifica hiring freeze. And I want to make one correction to the language. The original motion referred to Pacifica National Radio, I think. Is that what it says? Anyway, it's wrong, and it should just say Pacifica Foundation. And so I'd like to...
Could everyone mute their phones? We have discussions and noise
yeah.
background.
Okay. And that's just an... I consider that an edit to the motion. I'm just editing my original motion so that it says Pacifica Foundation. And that's
okay.
it. And if anybody wants to, you know, there are going to be issues about hires. There are already some issues, some requests about hires from some of the units. We'll need to move on those as quickly as possible. So that's my motion.
Okay, we're taking a stack.
Is there a second?
Is there a second to Margie's motion? Do we have a second?
Then you do.
It's been seconded. Do we have a stack for discussion of hiring, please?
Janet Kay to the stack.
Yes, Janet Kay. Yes, Janet.
Okay, I would like to amend the motion by adding to the last sentence, until such time that a new CFO is hired.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Lydia.
No, Benito.
Is there any objection to that amendment added to the Margie's language? Okay, amend without objection. Is there any further discussion on Margie's hiring freeze motion?
Alan, okay, can you hear me?
Yes, Alan, yes.
I really want to hear the motivation as to why it is essential to vote for this.
Okay, can I respond to that?
Sure.
I think it's very important that the national office, in particular, our new ED, need a handle on hiring. So we must extend the hiring freeze. The old hiring freeze motion is unworkable at this point because I'm no longer the IED and Raul is no longer the CFO, and so we need to replace those people in order to keep our hiring freeze in place and functional, and I think it's absolutely critical to do that. It makes everybody stop and think and deal with reality on the ground, and it's
excuse me, could everyone mute their phones? We're still having background. Somebody speaking. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Thank you, Teresa, for the opportunity.
I'm still not, Mr. Chair, I'm still not understanding. I guess I'd like you to read the motion again. I want to make sure that we're not tying the hands of our ED.
Brian here.
Okay.
I'm happy to read. I'll read it. I'm happy to do that. I have to find it. I apologize.
I have the language. I can clarify it, Teresa.
I have
yes.
To.
Brian,
The old hiring freeze says to have a hire, you need approval from the IED and CFO. This changes it to you need approval from the IED and board chair.
No, not
the IED.
The ED and board chair.
Okay.
So the board chair can say no, and that means the ED could not hire anyone.
No.
I would think because it says, or the language of the original motion said, or the PMB. So, yes, I think if there were a conflict, it would come to the board.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Is there any objection?
Yes,
to this?
I want to point something out.
Yes.
I think
Mark.
With the amendment that was made, you really need to wordsmith that. Otherwise, we're going to have to come back with the whole thing when we get a fiscal officer, because when you say up until the hiring of a fiscal officer, then you eliminate the language about the ED as well as the board chair. So I think it needs to be wordsmithed a little bit.
Yes, that's true.
And I would call on Brian to do that because he's so good at it.
Brian, you want to respond to wordsmithing?
I think my problem is I can't... was this sent out in an email? I can't copy and paste from the PDF it's in.
Yeah. I sent it a while ago. I sent it
from your ED address or a Margie LW?
No, from Margie LW, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, if you give me a minute, I can work on that.
It's in the agenda. It's one of the appendices.
I know, but he says...
But he can't copy and paste because it's PDF.
Oh, sorry.
It's the PDF. It's one of the problems with the
okay.
agenda being sent out.
While we're waiting on that, is there any further discussion on that? I guess Brian is going to get it together and...
Janet Kay?
And something else. Yes, Janet Kay.
So my amendment to address Robert's concerns, maybe... my amendment says until such time that a new CFO is hired and maybe something added at which time the CFO would replace the chair as the second, so it would be...
So it's just to, at the time the CFO is hired to replace the board chair, that's all it has to say.
Yeah.
So is that amendment?
Yes, I can make that as an amendment.
Fine.
Okay, could you submit that in writing, and is there a second to that?
That's the language as I'm writing it right now.
Yeah, Brian will send it.
Okay, that's the language he's writing. So while you're waiting to get that out, is there any further discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes, Mr. Mark?
No, John Prophet.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Prophet, yes.
Just a quick question of information. The language in the middle of the paragraph says, any hiring must be approved by the PNB or the IED and the CFO. If I read that correctly, that means that the decision made by the ED and the CFO in the revised language would not be submitted to the PNB. That seems contrary to the discussion. Just for clarification, please.
Yes, and this is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia, you want to?
Yeah, I think, okay, so I think in all instances where it says IED, ED needs to be there instead of IED, and in all instances there needs to be that same qualification that we're adding with regard to the CFO vis-a-vis the board chair until the CFO is hired, or we can do an asterisk below clarifying that. I'll leave that to Brian.
Right, but my question, Lydia, was that the way this sentence reads, from the sentence that the approval could be by the PNB or by the ED and the CFO.
Instead of the other way around?
Well, what it should say is that any agreement reached by the ED and the CFO must be submitted to the PNB for approval. I think that's is a reasonable way to look at it, unless the idea is to establish a completely separate decision making procedure.
This is Margie.
Don't think that was the intent, but Margie.
Let's hear from Margie to respond. Okay. If Adriana, you want to respond to?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think that. The concern there was, and this was, I think, in our original discussion, that it could delay hiring decisions to the point where, we might lose a very good candidate. And as long as it's, a reasonable hire, then I think that the two officers should be able to make the decision. I think it would unnecessarily restrict, particularly the ED to have to wait for approval from the board before making a hiring offer. That's just.
This is Lydia.
We're going to hear from Adriana, then Lydia. Yes, Adriana.
Yes. I agree. I sense that what Mr. Prophet is saying, that the phrase talk first of the PNB. And I think that the idea here, and Margie is reflecting that, the ED and the CFO will make that decision, and if there's any disagreement, obviously they come to the PNB. I think that is what he's trying to say.
Yes.
Because I don't think that we should tie the hands of the ED.
No, you're right, I agree.
If the ED and the CFO agree with something, they don't need to come to the PNB to ask for approval.
Right.
That's why they are the executives.
It just, the language doesn't say it that way. You're quite correct, Adrian. I agree with you.
Well, okay, Lydia.
Yes. So because those of us that remember the conversation when this was crafted, when it says any hiring must be approved by the PNB, comma, that would be, let's say, it takes a motion to add back the HR, which we need, for example. Or that's why the or is important, or the IED and the CFO. We can add a sentence saying in case there's a disagreement, it goes back to the PNB to break the tie, but I think that's obvious by the or. And so a move to hire someone can come either from the board of directors and or in combination the ED and the CFO, or in this case, until the CFO is hired, it would be the board chair. Thank you.
Brian here.
Yes, Brian.
I sent out language that I think is revised for clarity and to meet Janet's specifications. Could I introduce it as a substitute motion?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I accidentally sent it to Margie instead of to the board. Hold on. I will get that out to the board before I read it. So the motion would be to revise the hiring freeze so it reads as follows. Until a new CFO is hired, any hiring in any unit of the Pacifica Foundation must be approved by the PNB or by both the executive director and PNB chair. After the hire of a new chief financial officer, any hiring must be approved by the PNB or by both the executive director and CFO. Any violation of this hiring freeze will be just cause for discipline, including termination. All hiring freezes shall also apply to the retention of independent contractors, temps, and freelancers.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Is there a second to that substitute motion?
I second.
Okay. Is there further? Where are we with the time on this? But we'll see a further discussion on this.
We have just seconds left.
Janet Kay.
Okay. Janet Kay.
Well, I don't see anything that says anything about a tie, you know, if there's a difference between the executive director and the PNB chair or CFO. If they don't agree, that it would be brought to the PNB.
Okay, Brian, you want to address that? I'm not.
Mr. Chair, we are 4 minutes over. Can we extend that for 5 more minutes to finish this?
I second it. Brian,
Is there any objection to extending 5 minutes on this particular item? Without objection, we'll extend 5 minutes. Okay. Brian, you're going to respond to what Janet Kay was going to, what concerns were?
Oh, well, I copied over the language of the old motion mostly. What it says is you need either those two people to sign off or the board to sign off. I guess it does not trigger an automatic appeal to the board, and there might be reasons why if the executive director and CFO didn't agree, they also didn't want to take it to the board. But it creates the option of anyone taking it to the board. I mean, the structure isn't there. The board can approve a hire, or those two people can approve a hire if they agree.
Okay, any further discussion on that? Okay, is there any objection? I'm sorry, who is that?
Jim.
Yes,
Jim Brown.
Yes, Jim.
I think that the intention is great, but I think that if you were to reverse the order of those, it would work out for us all better. That if you say must be approved by the executive director and the PNB chair, or the PNB, then it might work better for people.
I can do that if you give me 10 seconds.
10 seconds. We're going to touch up the order. Is there any further discussion on that the substitute motion? Okay. Brian's going to get out the technical language. Is there any objection to this substitute motion? Okay. Without objection, substitute motion is approved. Is there any objection to this being the main motion? Any objection to adopting this as the main motion? Without objection, this is adopted as the main motion. Brian is going to get up at the finality of the language, and we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. I believe it's, which one is it? It's Brenda's recommendation from the recording secretary, or was it Lydia's amendment?
It was Brenda. Not sure if she's here. Is she here?
But I think you made the amendment. I don't know if she's here or who's gonna speak to it. I guess you can speak.
Brenda, are you still on the call?